Good morning. I'm calling this meeting of the Tax Committee to order for April 30th, 2024. We do have a quorum present. The first item on our agenda is approval of the minutes from April 19th, 2024. Vice Chair Norris, do I have a motion?
Chair Gomez, I move adoption of the April 19th minutes.
Chair Vice Chair Norris has moved adoption of the minutes for April 19th. Is there any discussion on the motion? Not seeing any. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion carries. The minutes for April 19th, 2024 are adopted. Okay, so we have a few bills up today. First, House File 4822 from Representative Feist. I'd like to move that House File 4822, the second engrossment, be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Feist, I understand you have an author's amendment. It's coded A3 in the packets. Should I move that for you?
Madam Chair, that would be great, but note that we do also have an oral amendment.
Yes. Okay, great. So I'm going to move the A3, and then I'm going to amend the underlying House File 4822 A3 amendment as follows. Page 2, line 22, after the first comma, insert 85.013, comma. And so now we're going to vote on the oral amendment to the A3. Is there any discussion on the motion? Representative Robbins.
Sorry, could you just restate it? Because I was fumbling for my page.
Thank you. Okay, so on page 2, line 22, after the first comma, insert 85.013, comma. Good, Representative Robbins?
Thanks. Yep.
Excellent. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of the oral amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The oral amendment to the A3 amendment to House File 4822 is adopted. Now to the underlying amendment as adopted. I'm going to move that we adopt the A3 amendment as amended to House File 4822. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion carries. The amendment as amended is adopted. Okay, so we also have an A4, which adds the appropriations to the bill to match up with the fiscal note that's in your packets. So I'm also going to move the A4 amendment. Is there any discussion on that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion carries. The A4 amendment to House File 4822, the second engrossment, is adopted. All right. Now that that is done with, Representative Feist, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee. This is my first time before the Taxes Committee, so I brought donuts from my district, from Heidi Bakery. And those donuts are available to anyone who lost sleep over House File 4822. So you all know who you are, and you can grab some donuts, too. House File 4822. This bill is in response to the May 2023 unanimous decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in Tyler versus Hennepin County, which found that Minnesota's tax forfeiture laws were unconstitutional. Specifically, the Supreme Court found that the county's taking of the excess proceeds from the sale of tax forfeited land beyond the total delinquent property taxes, costs, and fees owed was a violation of the takings clause. The bill before you is a result of extensive collaboration and dialogue among stakeholders, including the Association of Minnesota Counties, which convened counties across the state to evaluate the Tyler decision and identify solutions. Legal aid, the judiciary branch, constitutional scholars, the DNR, colleagues on both sides of the aisle, among others, have all been included in the conversation and analysis. I would also like to recognize the extensive research and counsel that nonpartisan staff have committed to this complex challenge. Thank you. 4822 does the following. It makes a public auction mandatory when a claim for surplus proceeds are filed in order to pay out any excess proceeds to the property owner. It creates a process to ensure that excess proceeds on minerals are not retained in violation of the takings clause. The amendment modified the allocation of funds to prioritize the property owner before dividing the surplus proceeds. And the amendment also created a process so that the DNR can continue to withdraw from sale forfeited property within public lands without violating the takings clause. And note that the appropriations was to the DNR because they will have additional duties under the new structure. This bill addresses the holding of Tyler while keeping many of the aspects of existing law that make Minnesota unique and responsive to property owners, including a long redemption period, payment plan opportunities that extend the redemption window, and ample notice periods. Due to the Supreme Court's holding in May 2023, we must take steps to immediately reform our state tax forfeiture laws. This bill represents a balanced approach to this directive that incorporates the perspective and expertise and hard work of many stakeholders and legislative staff. If we are not able to reform our laws, we are perpetuating a broken system for property owners and adding fiscal liability to the state. This problem will only get more expensive as time passes. I would like to note that this bill has bipartisan authors in both bodies. Representative Davids and Niska are co-authors here in the House. This is a reflection of the bipartisan collaboration and consensus over the need to update our tax forfeiture laws. And I appreciate everyone's collaboration on this. And with that, I will turn it over to the experts.
Thank you so much, Representative Feist. Welcome to the committee. Mr. Rogan, please just introduce yourself as you get started with your testimony.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Dan Rogan. I'm an assistant county administrator in Hennepin County and the county auditor. And I've been part of the AMC tax forfeiture work group working on this issue for the past several months. And I'm here in support of this bill and the A3 amendment. And I really want to thank Representative Feist for carrying this bill. I'm not going to go over the Tyler decision, but I want to provide a little bit of background about existing law and how this impacts that law. Under existing Minnesota law, if an owner doesn't resolve their tax delinquency, the property ultimately forfeits to the state in its entirety. The delinquent taxes and costs and any liens are canceled, and the county, on behalf of the state, disposes of the property by selling it or transferring it to another government entity for a public purpose. Proceeds from the sales of forfeited land subsidize county's cost in administering this collection process. If there are leftover funds, they must be distributed to school districts, cities, and counties on a yearly basis. Under this existing law, the prior owner is not entitled to any of the proceeds from a sale after a property forfeits, even if those proceeds exceed the unpaid taxes, liens, and related costs. The Tyler Court, as Representative Feist just indicated, held that by not providing the prior owner with a mechanism to claim cash surplus during this process, Minnesota's law is unconstitutional. House File 4822 changes Minnesota tax law to comply with Tyler, and it does so by making really two significant changes. First, it creates a process for us to determine whether there's a surplus. It does this by requiring a public auction for all tax forfeited land. The auction is important because it determines the value of the property. Before the auction, the county auditor will calculate the minimum bid for a tax forfeited property. This will be the sum of delinquent taxes, penalties, special assessments, and other costs. If no one is willing to pay more than the minimum bid, there is no surplus. The county may dispose of the property as otherwise allowed by existing law, for example, by transferring it to another government entity. If someone is willing to pay more than the minimum bid, the property is sold to the bidder, and the amount above the minimum bid is considered surplus that the prior owner and other interested parties in the property are entitled to as a matter of law under the 4822. The second thing it does is it creates a process for returning the surplus to the prior owner or others interested in the property. After the sale, the county auditor is required to notify interested parties of the surplus, and these parties have a claim to that surplus. If the prior owner is the only claimant, the county auditor sends the surplus to the prior owner. If the claimant, if there are multiple claims, the county auditor can file an action in district court, and the court will determine who's entitled to the surplus and the amount. So with that, we are in support of the A3 amendment as well, which made a number of technical changes and really clarified that the allocation process in existing law for when after we've taken the surplus and provided that to the prior owner or those interested in who have an interest in the property follows the existing law right now and allows us to pay for costs and then to make sure that we can pass along any of those proceeds that are in excess of what it's required for us to administer this process to cities and school districts. We have just three technical changes that we've been talking to Representative Feist about the definition of the minimum bid, the definition of interested party, which are technical in nature, and we look forward to working with Representative Feist to make those done, but they're not any substantive changes to the bill. And so with that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rogan. So if you could stick around while we hear from a couple other folks in case anyone has a question for you when we get to member discussion, that would be great. Next up, Julie Marinucci. Welcome. Please just state your name as you get started with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Gomez and committee members. We really appreciate being here to support this bill. My name is Julie Marinucci. I'm the Director of Lands and Minerals for St. Louis County, and we have appreciated the support and the work of our author in establishing this bill, and then also Representative Lisselgard and his support in helping shepherd this important bill through the legislature. St. Louis County manages over 900,000 acres of tax forfeited land. So when this ruling came down, it was really important that we made sure that this bill and the resolution reflects the unique nature of northeastern Minnesota. Collectively, the northern counties hold over 2.4 million acres of tax forfeited land. Those lands are used for timber management, they're used for recreation, they're part of an integrated public lands base that generally serves northeastern Minnesota. And so the establishment of the solution as it relates to Tyler really had to take into account that many of these forfeitures happened back when the forfeiture laws came into effect in the late 1930s. And the other piece that's really important in northeastern Minnesota is the mineral wealth that we've got. And so any resolution with this bill had to make sure to protect the mineral estate. And we've appreciated working with the DNR and within the AMC working group to figure out what that path looks like, because it was a little bit more complicated to figure out that unique nature. So the bill at this point accomplishes all of those things, which is quite a feat, and we appreciate the support. The other piece in here is the apportionment. So the management of that land base, that over 2.4 million acres, we generate revenue off of that, and we support entire industries, our entire logging industry. It's really important. And those revenues, again, come through, as Mr. Rogan had indicated, through that apportionment process, and it goes back to the schools, the communities, and the counties in those areas. So with the A3 amendment of House File 4822, we believe that this accomplishes all of the main goals for northeastern Minnesota, and we appreciate the support in the bill.
Thank you very much, Ms. Marinucci. Up next, I have Jill Schlick-Wynn, if you're present. Could you just say your name as you get started with your testimony? Welcome to the committee.
Good morning. My name is Jill Wynn. That's spelled N-G-U-Y-E-N, and I'm an attorney at the Department of Natural Resources. Thank you for hearing DNR's concerns with this bill. I also want to thank Representative Feist for working with the DNR to address its concerns. This bill requires that tax forfeited properties are sold by public sale, and when the properties are sold, the mineral rights are transferred to the state of Minnesota. This provision is consistent with Article 11, Section 10 of the Minnesota Constitution, which requires that the state reserve mineral rights in properties that it transfers. If a landowner alleges that the value of the mineral rights transferred to the state exceeds the delinquent taxes, assessments, penalties, and costs, the DNR commissioner must determine the value of the landowner's mineral rights. The landowner is then entitled to a payment from the DNR of the excess amount. DNR has three concerns with this bill, but Representative Feist has addressed one of those concerns with the amendment that she has proposed today. First, the bill as originally drafted required an auction even for properties that have typically been withdrawn from sale. For example, tax forfeited lands in state parks, certain tax forfeited lands on meandered waters, and lands subject to mining permits or leases are typically withdrawn from sale. Representative Feist's amendment addresses this concern by allowing DNR the option to condemn these lands. In cases where DNR would condemn these lands, the prior owner would have the opportunity to claim surplus condemnation proceeds. Second, the bill requires the DNR to determine the value of the landowner's mineral rights if there is a claim for surplus proceeds. DNR does not employ staff who work in the area of mineral valuation. DNR would need to retain additional staff to do this work. DNR's fiscal note estimates that we would need the following staff. We would need 1.5 full-time equivalents in in-house attorneys, 3 full-time equivalents in mining engineers, 2 full-time equivalents in economic geologists, and 1 full-time equivalent in a project manager. Third, because landowners could file claims challenging DNR's mineral valuation, DNR estimates that we would need to reimburse the Attorney General's office for about 1 attorney and 1 paralegal's time per year. Thank you for hearing the DNR's concerns with this bill.
Thank you, Ms. Nguyen. Finally, Kylene Lindgren. Welcome to the committee. Please just state your name for the record as you get started.
Thank you. I'm Colleen Lindgren, Legal Policy Manager at the Pacific Legal Foundation. Chair Gomez and members, thank you for your time today. Pacific Legal Foundation is a nonprofit public interest law firm that represents our clients free of charge in challenges to their constitutional rights. We represented Geraldine Tyler in the Tyler v. Hennepin County case, which set this bill in motion. And we really appreciate the opportunity to work with Representative Feist and others on this committee and elsewhere who have been invested in making sure that Minnesota's tax forfeiture process is made constitutional. And I'm not going to belabor any of the great points that Representative Feist and the other testifiers have made, but I wanted to let you know that Pacific Legal Foundation supports House File 4822 in its second engrossment, as well as the amendments that were offered and accepted today. And we believe this bill provides clarity to all parties, improves notice requirements, requires the sale of property and proceeds to former owners in an appropriate manner. And we really appreciate your support for this bill.
Thank you, Ms. Lindgren. That's the end of folks who've signed up in advance. Is there anyone else present who wishes to testify on House File 4822? I'm not seeing any. We will move to member discussion. Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a general question along the same processes. We've often said, I think we're kind of moving along that line of how we adequately look at land when it comes to state assets that are under their control, whether it's a tax forfeiture, whether it's a school trust land. And, one of the issues that we've been having, especially with school trust lands, that's not necessarily a related issue but something to talk about, is, the DNR is essentially, if they're closing down development, if they're closing down mining, if they're closing down timber on school trust land, essentially that's a taking from the kids. And, I think what we're trying to get after here is a little bit of that same mindset of where does the value, is there value above and beyond what was owed when the tax was owed and the land was taken over, and how would people be potentially reimbursed for that? But something just in general to be thinking about is, if there is essentially a copper mine sitting below school trust lands and the state is withholding it because it's currently under DNR management, that the students, in order to keep that land from being developed, should be reimbursed with the idea in the same process that a mine would be actually used and the revenue generated from it. So I think that's something we should be looking forward to, as a state, to say we can't just hold these things in perpetuity without actually developing them in a real manner and saying, well, it's being used, but we have a picnic table on it, when the real value is what's underneath. And I think representatives around this table would agree that, the kids deserve better. It's not just tax accounts, but it's also the assets that they currently own are exceptionally important to develop in a manner, or at least be reimbursed in a manner that would reflect their true value. So that's my comment.
That is a little outside the scope of 4822, but it looks like Representative Feist, if you had anything to...
I guess I was just going to say the same thing. So yeah. Under current law, the mineral rights already forfeit to the state, and this doesn't change that. So it's kind of like adjacent to this bill.
Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is a... I'm going to commend you. This is a sticky situation, right? And I think this is a good solution. So bringing all the stakeholders together was a good job. So thank you. I support this.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any further member discussion? All right. Seeing none, I just before we go back to you for final comments, I am so thankful to you for doing this work. It's like not maybe glamorous. There are a lot of people in this room who have put a lot of time and a lot of effort into this. And before Representative Feist stepped up to kind of coordinate this very complex process, Chair Lissagard and I were trying to do it, and it wasn't going as well as it has gone. Let's just say, with a very detail-oriented attorney who's so just fastidious about everything on the case. So, just my sincere, heartfelt thanks to you. It's sort of like a thankless job for the state, for the people of Minnesota that you've done, and I'm really very grateful. So with that, any final comments you have, Representative Feist?
Thank you so much for the kind words. I don't feel like it was thankless. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. It's so important. I've learned a lot, and it's just been really great working with so many people with a vested interest to make sure that we get this right. So thank you, and vote yes.
Great. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 4822, the second engrossment as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Motion carries, and House File 4822, the second engrossment as amended, is on the way to the Ways and Means Committee. Thank you, Representative Feist. Up next, we will hear the property tax forfeiture settlement bill from Chair Lissagard, a related item. So, Chair Lissagard, would you like to move House File 5246 be re-referred to Ways and Means?
So moved.
All right. Chair Lissagard has moved his bill. And I understand that you have an author's amendment coded DE1 in our packets. Would you like to move that also?
So moved.
Chair Lissagard has moved the amendment coded DE1. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, no. Motion carries, and the DE1 is adopted. The bill is in the form the author would like, and Chair Lissagard, to your bill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. And I don't know if Representative Feist is still here. I should have made comments because you have to have the right skill set for the right task at hand. And with her background from a legal perspective and her ability to collaborate, take all this very complex information, process it, and get people to understand it within this framework wasn't totally incredible. And Speaker Hortman wisely, before the settlement ever came, asked me and Patrick to come in and said, hey, this is going to be coming down the pike. And the next thing you know, I dropped that bill, and I'm getting a phone call from Miss Julie Marinucci over there saying, what's going on here? And when this came to fruition, Speaker Hortman wisely set you and I down and put a very, very talented legislator to oversee this, and she did an incredible job. So I just wanted that for the record because I missed my opportunity. I get to do something that is, you know, both bills, it's not great, right? I mean, this is not like, you know, we're excited to be here. This is something that we have to do, and we have to work our way through it. And for that last bill to be supported by the very institution that brought it all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and the state of Minnesota lost basically 9-0, and that's a really big deal. So for us to get to this point, but there's another element, and the other element is to pay what we owe. With this bill, with the amendment, Minnesota must respond by creating the framework to settle damages to individuals impacted by prior unconstitutional law that we had. So this is $109 million, a settlement, and it was negotiated by all the different stakeholders, and the bill addresses the state's liability looking back in time and supports a settlement process that has been constructed and agreed to by the class action plaintiffs, county government, and the Attorney General's office. So that's kind of like the nutshell. And for the bill, if I could have Mr. Swanson go through it, that would be wonderful.
All right, great. Chair Listigard, I'll pass it over to Mr. Swanson.
Madam Chair and members, as Representative Listigard mentioned, this bill appropriates $109 million in fiscal year 2024 to the Commissioner of Management and Budget to make payments for settling the litigation related to the retention of tax forfeited lands. So these would be properties that were forfeited within the settlement window, which, if you look on the DE amendment, varies depending on county, but you can sort of see the windows on lines 1.7 through 1.9. And this deals with forfeitures up through the end of 2023. Payments under the terms of the settlement may be made from the appropriation for properties located in the participating counties. And in order for a county to be a participating county, they must elect to participate in the settlement, agree to provide the commissioner with necessary property tax data in order to determine payments that need to be made to the county, agree to make a good faith effort to sell any remaining properties that forfeited prior to 2024, and then remit a portion of those proceeds from the sale of those properties to the Commissioner of Management and Budget. Lastly, Subdivision 5 of this bill requires that the participating counties annually submit reports to the Commissioner of Management and Budget on the properties that forfeited within the settlement window. Each report would include a date in which the parcel forfeited, a description of the efforts made to sell the property if it hasn't been sold yet, and if the parcel was sold, the purchase price and the amount that was remitted to the commissioner. The commissioner would then compile all that information and submit regular reports to the legislature.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. So we're going to move to testifiers now. Matt Hilgart, welcome back to the committee.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you so much. My name is Matt Hilgart. I work for the Association of Minnesota Counties. I want to thank Chair Listigard for championing this bill and being so passionate about working with us throughout the summer and fall and winter on trying to solve this issue. Madam Chair, I also want to thank you and others as well, because I know that you were in those conversations as early as this summer. This is an issue, as you said. I think Representative Anderson actually stated it very well. This is a sticky situation. It's an inconvenient situation, and it's a thankless situation. But the fact remains is that we have to solve it. And I want to thank everyone for their bipartisan interest in this. There were bills last spring, not only Speaker Hortman and Representative Listigard seeing that this was an issue we'd have to solve, but former Representative Howe and State Senator Warren Limmer throwing in bills. This was something that we all saw after the decision is something that was going to greatly impact Minnesota and have ramifications for taxpayers if we didn't get this right. And there are two solutions that we had to figure out. We had to figure out a policy way to fix our broken system and make it constitutional. In all frankness, other states are also watching us to see how we respond, because we're not alone in this. The second thing we had to do is resolve that liability. And I think Chair Paul McDonald from St. Louis County Board has testified in front of this committee before. He's kind of said it eloquently to me. He goes, Matt, on this, if we're successful, folks will never know how bad it could have been. And that's a tough measure of success. And that's what this bill in front of you today represents. It's averting disaster for Minnesota communities across the state. And I know I'm looking at folks across this table, because I know your commissioners have been calling you this session to say how important this Tyler versus Hennepin decision has been. This is something that unites all 87 counties and their unanimous support for it. Let's figure this out. Let's fix this. We appreciate that the state acknowledges that they had a role in passing the statutes and telling us as counties, as Dillon State, as your arms of state government, that, hey, you are going to carry out the functions of tax forfeiture process in Minnesota. So we appreciate that acknowledgement. We also have a component in here, though, where we are also paying back assets to the state to cover some of that $109 million cost. The last thing I wanted to say, Madam Chair, is just use a little bit of time to dispel the notion any notion that remains, and I hope that there's a limited notion that remains, that this was somehow a profitable business for counties. This was not. I'd like to give two examples. This was a money loser for counties. If you look at Stearns County's tax portfolio inventory sheet of one given year, they might have 15 properties that became tax forfeit. On 13 of those 15 were net losses. That is, the total debts owed, the property taxes not paid. The property taxes paid by other property taxpayers were far in excess of what they were able to sell at any public sale. Two might have had surpluses. And in fact, the year that I looked at it, it was $6,000 surplus and $300 surplus. It in no way offset the costs of the hundreds of thousands of dollars that were lost or were spent to actually clean up properties to get them back to use. And the last example I'm going to pick on Representative Swazinski is a Lacaparral County example, because it matters for small communities. That's why your commissioners are calling you. In Lacaparral County, a Clarkfield school was consolidated, I believe. Representative Swazinski will know more. But the school could not afford the dilapidated building. They couldn't afford to demolish it. So it goes tax forfeit. It goes to the state. The state gives it back to the counties. The counties now have this parcel that they have to take care of. Are they going to let this just sit there vacant and be an environmental hazard, a public safety hazard? No. They're going to take ownership of it and clean it up to the tune of $900,000. For context, that was 4.5 times their total CPA. So can you imagine that? Spending 4.5 years of CPA allocations to clean up one parcel of property. So again, I just want to underscore the importance of this bill. This is averting disaster, and it's going to be impacting not just counties, cities, school districts, all taxing jurisdictions throughout this entire state. And we thank you for the seriousness of which you've gone about this legislation, and ask for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Hilgart. Up next, Ms. Marinucci. Welcome back.
Hello again, Madam Chair, committee members. Julie Marinucci, St. Louis County Lands and Minerals Director. Again, want to reinforce the appreciation of the support. We know that the $109 million is a really big number. And St. Louis County, for whatever reason, we tend to have a higher turnover in tax forfeited properties. So as part of this bill, it has the references to a good faith effort. On an annual basis, we end up forfeiting between 150 to 250 parcels of land. And so our good faith effort is, we're carrying about just over 500 parcels of land that fall within that look back period. So we've got our work cut out for us, because the previous bill, 4822, requires that properties that forfeit, that we turn around and put those up for auction within 6 months. That will interlace with this then good faith effort to try and sell and recoup as much as we can from those properties that sit within our inventory. But we truly appreciate the support, the funding. It is a big deal. And the counties really needed the state to step forward and appreciate everyone's efforts, knowing especially in this year it was a difficult lift. So appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Marinucci. Is there anyone else present who wishes to testify on House File 4822? Not seeing any, we'll move to member discussion. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to kind of just bounce back off another comment kind of associated with Mr. Hilgart's comments from the counties. Some of the issues we do see is where school districts will sell a property. So they'll take an old school that's no longer being used, maybe from a consolidation or an abandoned property, and sell it to a private individual. And so essentially jettisoning it from that jurisdiction of tax liability. So, you know, as we know, our school districts don't necessarily always follow county lines. They may kind of, they wiggle around and go about. And so, you know, what we're seeing is a transfer of liability from one group of taxpayers to the next. So while that school was built with the tax expenditure from one group of people, they get rid of it by simply putting it on the auction block, selling it on eBay, which was the case in which happened in Clarkfield, and then sell it. The folks lose it or decide to walk away from the project or decide there's too many things involved in it. And it goes back to the tax rolls because it's been forfeitured, because property taxes aren't being paid on it. And essentially then the liability transfers to another
jurisdiction. So a group of people that maybe didn't have anything to do with building the building to begin with are now liable for its either upkeep or demolish. And so I think that's something we should be, you know, that's part of that conversation when it comes to school districts, one taxable entity going to a different, which would be a county. And so that's just a little bit more for you guys to just enjoy.
Man, I never knew you could buy an old schoolhouse on eBay. You learn something new every day around here, I swear.
That's right.
All right, is there any further member discussion? Yeah. All right, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was just thinking if it's sold on eBay, I wouldn't be able to buy it.
Representative Davids, do you know the school mascot's name for Clarkfield?
Cardinals.
Representative Davids.
Madam Chair, Cardinals?
Oh. He's got it.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, it's right.
It is.
Well, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to thank Representative Liz Legard for this bill. When this first came forward, I thought, well, the county's all that. They got to pay this. And so I called some folks, and they said, well, Greg, they were just following state law. I went, oh, okay, well, that makes it a little bit different here. So, yes, they were following state law. We were in a very, very bad situation from, I would think, the county's perspective after the settlement of the case. So this has been a very, very good bill to work on. I like the bipartisan ones. And the counties were amazing. The county commissioners came forward and really helped us along this, and we were able to put this together. So I believe on the amendment, that was basically the Senate language. So there's not the clawbacks. Okay, that's what I thought. So thank you, Chair Liselgaard. This is a good bill, and I hope it gets signed very, very soon.
All right. Chair Liselgaard, any final thoughts on your bill?
No, Madam Speaker. It's not sexy, but we need to get it done.
All right. With that, Chair Liselgaard will renew his motion that House File 5246, as amended, be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, no. Motion prevails. House File 5246, as amended, is on its way to Ways and Means. All right. Finally, for today, we have House File 2000 from Representative Stevenson. Welcome. So I'm going to move that House File 2000, the third engrossment, be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Chair Stevenson, I understand you have an author's amendment. It's coded A32 in our packets. Would you like me to move it for you?
If you would, please.
All right. I would like to move the A32 amendment. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Motion carries. The A32 is adopted. The bill is in the form the author would like. Chair Stevenson, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm going to just be brief. We had a long night last night, a long day today. This is the bill to legalize sports betting. Several of you have probably seen this bill in other committees, but the bill legalizes both brick and mortar and mobile sports betting statewide. For the purposes of this committee, it includes a 20% tax on sports betting, a 10% tax on daily fantasy sports, which are included in the bill upon an amendment that was adopted in the State Government Finance Committee. There's a revenue estimate in the packet that details how much funds that raises and also the allocation of it. The most significant allocation from this committee's perspective is a cut to the tax on charitable gaming that in the third year of operation totals $40 million. Which is a significant tax cut. Members might be aware that in charitable gaming, at present, the charities are sort of the third beneficiary. When you look at the total use of dollars after prizes are paid out, the largest amount of money, single amount of money, goes to the state in the form of taxes. Second largest goes to developer fees. The third goes to the charitable mission. Once this and other provisions that have passed into law are fully implemented, I expect that will flip, and the charities will be the number one beneficiary of charitable gaming, and the charitable mission will be the number one beneficiary of charitable gaming. I do also want to highlight a provision in the bill that I think is significant that Chair Liselgaard has as a standalone measure that allows veterans organizations to use a portion of their charitable gaming proceeds to do capital improvement projects. Members' posts, American Legion's VFW posts around the state are closing, and a significant reason why they're closing is stress due to old buildings that need repair. Chair Lisligard's bill, I think, is a good way to keep those institutions open and the key contributors to our communities that they are. I can say from experience that Coon Rapids American Legion closed 7-8 years ago now, and it was really a devastating thing for our community. So keeping these posts open is really valuable. So I want to thank Chair Lisligard for his work on that. And I understand, Madam Chair, there are testifiers, and I'm sure there are questions that I'd be happy to answer.
Yes, great. Thank you, Chair Stevenson. So we do have a few testifiers. We usually have sort of wide-ranging, freewheeling conversations and taxes. For the purposes of our time today, I'm going to just ask everybody to stay focused on the provisions that touch the tax statutes. So those are Articles 2, 4, 7, and Article 9, Section 2. So we're going to move to testifiers now. First up, Rachel Jenner. Welcome to the committee. Please just state your name for the record as you get started with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Rachel Jenner. I'm the Executive Director of Allied Charities of Minnesota. We represent many of the licensed charities who conduct gambling in Minnesota, and we have been working closely with Representative Stevenson and the other authors to bring this bill forward and reduce our taxes. We very much appreciate his efforts to give us meaningful tax relief. It has been our goal to bring the taxes down to a level where our organizations have the funds available to contribute more to their communities than they pay in taxes, as Representative Stevenson noted. Just 5 years ago, we were paying $88 million, and this year we will be at $200 million in taxes on an annual basis. Our ability to serve our communities has definitely been hampered by these excessive taxes. One local hockey organization that I've spoke with, and I've mentioned this in the past, was struggling to raise $200,000 to put a rink into their community, and their tax bill was over $100,000 a month. So while we agree with legislators who have expressed that they want to give us even more in tax relief, we need consensus, and we need bipartisan support to pass this bill this year. We have heard for many years that there will be a better opportunity. One in recent years was once the stadium was paid off, would be the perfect opportunity to lower the taxes on this industry. But that time has now come and gone, and with the increased revenue from sports betting, we feel that the time is now to lower the taxes. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, Susan Sheridan Tucker.
Good morning. How are you?
Please just state your name for the record as you get started with your testimony. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Susan Sheridan Tucker, and I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Alliance on Problem Gambling. We are the state affiliate to the National Council on Problem Gambling, and our sole purpose is to advocate on behalf of those that are negatively impacted by gambling. I'm here, our organization is neutral on the legalization of gambling, but I'm here to raise attention to Article 7 in the bill as it pertains to tax cuts to charitable gambling. We have no issue around tax cuts per se, however, the original provision indicated that the National Council affiliate would receive 0.5% of the tax revenue and 0.5% to DHS for problem gambling. Because of the proposed tax cut, this directly impacts our budget. And so I wanted to raise awareness to you about that, because when that provision was enacted, it also stated that there should be no cuts to existing services, even though potential increases in services might take place. And for us, it's a significant cut. We're looking at figures of $136,000 this year, up to $166,000 in fiscal year 27. And while that may seem like a small amount overall, it is significant to our program budget. And so I just wanted to raise that issue, and I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, Dr. Christy Janigo. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name as you get started with your testimony.
Greetings, Madam Chair and members. My name is Dr. Christy Janigo. I am the American Legion Department of Minnesota Legislative Chair. First, I want to thank Representative Stevenson and his co-authors for working on this bill and for giving veteran service organizations a voice in this process. We support the provisions in Article 7 because of the charitable gambling tax cuts and the increase in lawful purpose expenditures to 50% of annual net receipts to allow our post to complete crucial capital improvements. I want to thank Representatives Swidzinski, Bjorn Olson, and Robbins for offering amendments to the tax omnibus bill last week in this committee on items that would benefit veterans. We've been asking for those changes for years. As those didn't pass, today I ask for your support on this bill. Vice Chair Norris, Representative Elkins, and Representative Lislegard, thank you for your partnership on the House Veterans and Military Affairs Committee and carrying our bills. We are deeply grateful for your allyship. Our more than 50,000 members agreed to prioritize advocating for these tax cuts above all other things we want for our community because we think these will have the biggest impact. It's difficult for me to fully describe how meaningful this is to us. This amendment includes a historic amount of tax cuts for charitable gambling, adding $40 million more a year to the approximately $15 million that passed last year. We say historic because our state taxes have been higher than the amount of money we've been able to deploy to our communities for years. And we believe what you're doing with this bill will reverse that to the benefit of all Minnesotans. Although most of us stopped wearing the uniform years ago, veterans have a deep-seated need to continue serving their communities. And last session's changes to e-poll tabs had our people worried that mission would be compromised. That is why you likely received a lot of communication from us and saw a flood of social media messages almost exactly a year ago. We use charitable gambling funds to carry out our four pillars: Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation, National Security, Children and Youth, and Americanism. The funds we donate pay for honor guards at burial ceremonies, outdoor recreation for disabled veterans, suicide prevention programs, and stopgap funding for homeless veterans. We donate to area schools programs to help housing and food insecure children. We support nonprofit human services organizations near our post. We fund youth sports scholarships and equipment for local fire departments. What I'm describing to you represents the best of America, and these traditions need to continue. Thank you again for hearing this bill today.
Thank you for your testimony. Finally, Stacy Stern. Welcome to the committee. Please just identify yourself as you get started with your testimony.
Hi, good morning, Stacy Stern. Good morning, Chair Gomez, Vice Chair Norris, and members of the committee. My name is Stacy Stern. I'm Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at Underdog Sports. Underdog is an emerging leader in the sports entertainment industry, focusing on verticals in paid fantasy sports, sports wagering, and sports content. And I'm here today to support HF 2000, which will regulate fantasy sports contests and sports wagering in Minnesota. I want to thank Representative Stevenson for his tireless effort, judgment, and focus on this matter. Underdog Sports is a proud member of the Coalition for Fantasy Sports, made up of members from leading innovative fantasy sports platforms that include Prize Picks, Better, and Dabble. These innovators, like Underdog, want to ensure that sports fans in Minnesota can continue to enjoy fantasy sports contests they love and play, and that innovation continues to be paramount. HF 2000 will regulate and tax sports wagering and fantasy sports contests throughout Minnesota, allowing the state to implement strong consumer protections while also ensuring fantasy sports operators can pay their fair share. Importantly, HF 2000 will ensure that the hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans who currently play fantasy sports contests can continue to safely play the games that they know and love. Given the popularity of fantasy sports contests, it's easy to surmise that current projections of $500,000 in 2026 and $1.2 million in 2027 are very low based upon activity in comparable states like Michigan and Arizona. We expect to see higher revenue. Minnesotans are dedicated sports fans, and whether it's taking in a summer afternoon at Target Field, filling out an office-wide March Madness bracket, or debating which Anthony Edwards dunk was the best, and as a diehard Phoenix Suns fan, I can tell you there were many that were his best. But I digress. Sports fans love finding new ways to enjoy and express opinions on favorite teams and players. HF 2000 acknowledges the difference between sports wagering and fantasy sports contests and proposes to regulate both and tax both activities, similar to what we've seen in many states around the country. For example, looking at Michigan and Arizona, both states have regulated fantasy sports contests and sports wagering at the same time and have allowed fans to continue to participate in the activities they love. They've proven that states win and consumers win with regulated, safe activities that generate meaningful tax revenues. I urge you to vote in favor of progressing HF 2000 to its next committee stop and to bring Minnesota sports fans one step closer to authorizing the fantasy sports contests they love to play and allow them to join. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else present who wishes to testify on House File 2000? All right. Not seeing any. We will move to amendments. Representative Kosnick, did you want to say anything before we move on to amendments?
Madam Chair, just a clarifying question, if I could.
Sure.
With the delete all, or the author's amendment, excuse me, not a delete all, is Section 5 of Article 8 still in the original bill then? If I could just get clarification of that.
Chair Stevenson?
I'm having to... Representative Kosnick, I'm sure Representative Kosnick, if you could tell me what...
Yeah, page 70, Mr. Chair, it's...
We can actually, we can just ask Ms. Hagler to answer that one.
Just because I know, it wasn't clear because I know Section 4 was deleted and a new section added, but I just wanted to make sure if Section 5 is deleted or not.
Yeah, great. Ms. Hagler.
Madam Chair and Representative Kosnick, Section 5 still is in the bill. It was not deleted.
Representative Kosnick?
Thank you. Appreciate that clarification.
All right. Great. So we're going to move to amendments. First up, we have the amendment that's coded A28 in your packet. Representative Davids, would you like to move the A28?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. The A28 is before us. Please describe your amendment, Rep. Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What this amendment does is it basically jettisons everything except the tax relief for our charities. What we did at the end of last session was a huge mistake, devastating to our charities. And I have a rather lengthy record on these issues and have always supported our charities that do such great work, whether the American Legions or whatever that group might be. So I'm very clear on the record as having supported them in the past. What we did last year was we really hit them hard. Now, when we realize what we did, now we're trying to fix it. And we put it in a bill that to some of us is extremely objectionable. I do not believe in the expansion of gaming. Never have, never will. And so what this does is this is a very clear that we support the charities. We want the charities to have their tax cuts. And I do think, Madam Chair, it's somewhat unfortunate that they're going to go another year with nothing because this bill will not pass. It'll probably pass the House, but it will not pass the Senate. So here we go again. And this goes way back. I remember the 2017 tax bill where I had great relief for the charities in that tax bill, passed the House, went over the Senate, came back from conference, and... it had been stripped out. We weren't able to keep it in there. And the explanation from the Senate was, well, Representative Davids, these charities were set up to make the state money. I guess that was a different way to look at it. But so it's unfortunate we go another year here. But, Madam Chair, I would ask for support on the E28 amendment and would request a roll call.
All right. Representative Davids has requested a roll call, so there will be a roll call. Is there any further discussion on the A28? Representative Anderson.
Thank you. I'd like to speak in favor of the 828 too. I think we, you know, both sides of the aisle recognize what happened to the charities last year and how devastating the tax bill last year is going to be on the charities. The minimum we can do is this tax provision, and I want to say it's kind of throwing scraps, but at least it's something to help make up for the devastation that occurred. So especially if, as Lead Davids mentioned, it's not likely that this is going to pass the Senate. You know, this is something that we can do that's positive for our charities, and I think it needs to get done, and I would urge support of the Davids Amendment. Thank you.
All right. First time I've heard $40 million a year referred to as scraps, but that's cool. Is there any further discussion on the A28 from members before we go to Representative Stevenson?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. This, we're really put in a bad situation here, because something that many of us really, really support, the charities, are being put with something that we just cannot stand for. So it puts us in a genuine conundrum, a quandary, if you will, a real-life dilemma. This A28 amendment would take care of that, and you know, I think we owe it to the charities for what we did to them last year to fix this without the extremely controversial other parts of the bill. So thank you, Madam Chair and members. I appreciate a yes vote.
Representative Stevenson.
thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Davis, for the amendment. I ask members to vote against the amendment. Number one, the financing for the tax cuts for the charities is the wagering on sports betting, the tax on sports betting, which would be eliminated by the amendment, which means that there's no pay for the tax cuts that are proposed here. Secondly, of course, obviously I support legalizing sports betting and would oppose an attempt to delete the efforts to legalize sports betting. I do want to add for context, because I think, you know, facts are important and numbers matter. The most recent report from the Gambling Control Board indicates that last year the total amount of money that went to the charitable mission, the total amount of money the charities got from e-poll tabs for the whole year, was $60 million. They got a tax cut last year worth $15 million. This is a tax cut worth $40 million. There's also a cap on developer fees that will generate millions of dollars of savings for the charities. So I want to be clear about the when people talk about scraps or how devastating certain things are, I think the full context is important. With the passage of this bill, the charities will, without question, be in a much stronger financial position than they were heading into last year.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. So the roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris.
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lead Davids.
Yes.
Lead Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje.
No.
Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, no.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard. Excused. Representative Joy.
Yes, please.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick.
Yes.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee.
No.
Lee, no. Representative Lislegard.
No.
Lislegard, no. Representative Olson B.
Yes.
Olson B, yes. Representative Olson L. Excused. Representative Pinto.
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins.
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith.
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swidzinski.
Yep.
Swidzinski, yes. Representative Wiener.
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte.
Yes.
Woody, yes. Representative Joachim.
No.
Joachim, no.
Sorry. Yeah, no.
Madam Chair, there being 9 ayes, 10 nays, and 2 members excused.
Ooh. There being 9 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail. The A28 is not adopted.
If Joachim would, yes.
All right. Up next is the A31 from Representative Robbins. Representative Robbins, would you like to move your amendment?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. Please, to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this is another attempt to
try to help the charities. I appreciate Chair Stevens trying to include the charities in this global sports betting package. I appreciate his work with the charities. And I appreciate that the charities have been at the table. I really do. And I appreciate that there is some tax cuts in the bill. But first of all, Chair Stevenson just, well, let me just say what the amendment does. Basically, it gives a 5% flat tax for the charities, replacing all these other layers of taxes. And the reason this is important, members, is because the charities really did lose so much last year. And that will be compounded over all the years that they do not have e-pull tabs. And so they continue to pay a lot of money to the state general fund. And they should be able to keep all of that money in their communities. I don't know why the state sees charities as a revenue maker for the state, but I think it's wrong. I don't think that's how we should be looking at them. As Chair Davids indicated, that was what the charitable tax was apparently set up, if we believe former Senator Bach. I think that's the wrong way to look at charitable gaming taxes. That money should be staying in the community, and so that's what this amendment does, and I'm happy to talk more about it after there's questions or discussion.
All right. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Stevenson, this reminds me of a bill that we had in state government by the majority leader on a totally different subject, but there was a variety of provisions seemingly related in that in his bill with the majority leader Long. And I asked him if he was familiar with the legislative term log rolling. Chair Stevenson, are you familiar with that term?
Representative Kosnick, will you please just make your point about the A31 amendment that's before the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Stevenson and committee members, log rolling is a term, legislative term used to refer to a variety of provisions in a bill. And packing those provisions together because an individual bill or provision of the bill may not stand on its own. And so I'm concerned, or I think the author and we as a legislature might be concerned, that this sports betting bill is log rolling. What we're doing is putting different provisions in there that some people like, but other people might not like the overall bill, and the provision would not stand alone on itself. And so I appreciate that the author is trying to coalesce a broad coalition of people to support this sports betting bill. And by packing in and log rolling in a favorable provision for the charitable gaming groups, I think that's an important enough provision that it would stand alone on its own. And we're trying to entice members to vote for the overall provision of sports betting by putting something in here that has broad bipartisan support. This should be on its own. We're log rolling in a favorable provision that Representative Robbins is her amendment helps support, and I support the amendment, but I'm concerned, or we should all be concerned, that we're just building a coalition, and it would not stand up if it was challenged in court. And I hope if this does pass, that there may be, we do this probably a little too often in the legislature, and I hope somebody might challenge it. We should be supporting our charitable gaming associations. Last year, the majority.
Representative Kosnick, we're talking about the A31 amendment. We're going to get to member discussion on the overall bill. Will you please confine your comments to the A31 amendment that's before the committee right now?
Well, Madam Chair, last year the majority decimated the business model, the charitable gaming associations, and I support the A31 amendment so that all the local charities, groups, projects across the state may continue to flourish.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also speak in favor of the Robbins Amendment. When we essentially, we talked about a business model, but when you have less sales and less net income, you know, the taxes on that. How do I want to put this? The charities are going to have considerably less sales without the e-poll tabs, which means they're going to also have considerably less net income. And we need to do what we can to allow them to keep as much as possible. So of this smaller dollar amount of net income after, again, we decimated the e-poll tabs last year, by lowering the tax rate to 5%, that'll help a little bit. It heavy little bit helps, but this will help a little bit. So I would encourage us to support this amendment. Thanks.
I just want to remind everybody that we did not ban e-poll tabs last year, that what we did was we aligned the design of e-poll tabs with the original deal that brought them into being. And so we're just going to not say things that are untrue as we're having this conversation. We're not talking about a future without e-poll tabs. That's not where we are. Is there any further member discussion on the A31? Can I go to Rep. Stevenson, and then you can close up? Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate that clarification is really important for folks to know that we did not ban e-poll tabs or end e-poll tabs, and in fact, members of the committee should be aware that the Gambling Control Board is regularly now approving games compliant with the new rules. So there will be e-poll tab games continuously in Minnesota, and I hope all members responsibly carry that message forward, because we don't want to mislead the public into thinking that e-poll tabs are going away. It's also important to know that the tax cuts that are contemplated in the bill that's before you, as well as the tax cuts that were included in your bill last year, Chair Gomez, apply not just to e-poll tabs, but paper poll tabs as well. So with regard to the argument that if the amount of revenue goes down, the tax cuts aren't worth as much, that is not entirely accurate, because the paper poll tabs are also getting a tax cut. The value of these tax cuts this year is also reflective of the MMB forecast, which accounts for the impact of the changes in e-poll tab rules last year. So the $40 million that's in the bill is reflective of the new landscape. I do want to put some numbers before the committee in terms of what the Robbins Amendment would cost. The biennial cost of this amendment is $260 million. So it is a massive cut in tax on the charities. And I also do want members to be aware, as Ms. Sheridan Tucker noted, that a portion of that money is dedicated to problem gaming, and that would disappear as well if you cut the taxes this significantly. So this would result in a cut to problem gambling programming at the state level of $1.7 million on a biennial basis, on a two-year basis. So a significant cut both in revenue. And, of course, if members look at their revenue estimate on the bill, you can see that the total amount of money generated by sports betting is not anywhere close to $260 million, which is the cost of the Robbins Amendment, which means that there's no financing for this tax cut that is found in the sports betting bill.
Thank you. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I appreciate the clarification that e-poll tabs were not banned, but they were decimated. The change in how the games will be played will significantly reduce revenue for charities, and that is a fact. And so I appreciate accuracy, so I'm happy to clarify my remarks, but I want the underlying point to stand that the loss of revenue to charities is substantial. Secondly, I think we also need to be accurate with how these tax cuts are going to affect charities. And I appreciated hearing from the woman from Allied Charities and how it's better to take this than nothing, basically. And I find it so offensive how we have been talking about veterans in this committee. And they literally just get last year they were devastated. This year they're getting some accommodation, but it's not $40 million a year, and I don't think it ever will be. Members, the first round of the tax cuts in the first year, they get $6.9 million. The next year, if it holds up, they get $27 million. The third year, they get $34 million. And in the fourth year, FY28, is when they would see $39 million. So they don't get $40 million next year. And a lot of my local charities think they do. That is not accurate. So let's be accurate on all accounts. By the time we get to FY28 members, we're looking at deficits. I am concerned that this will just get reversed. We are building the tax cuts out into the far years when we all know there are deficits looming, and we could just turn this back. I think the charities are honestly getting played, and I'm sad about it. I'm grateful that they can now use some of their money to do improvements in their facilities. That's something we've been fighting for years, and it's really meaningful. I'm grateful for that. But what is never said is that that expires in 2029. So they think they're going to be able to do that. Do you know how long it takes to get fundraising going and projects bid and things done? A lot of them won't even be able to get their projects done before that expires. Most of my local charities have no idea that's going to expire. So when we are in here patting ourselves on the back, saying we are doing good for the charities, I just want to bring the reality out so that our local charities understand this is something, and it may be better than nothing, because I think this sports bill is going to die and they will again get nothing from this session. But members, this is not $40 million a year, and they don't get to use this in perpetuity. And by the time we would get to the scale of $40 million, I don't think there's money for it. And to Chair Stevens' point about what my bill would cost, yes, it would cost the state $260 million, $130 million a year to reduce the charity tax to 5%. That is how much the state is making off the backs of our charities. That just gets dumped into the general fund. The state is spending that on who knows what. So that is important. Like, the charities are funding all these operations in the general fund. So, members, I hope that highlighting this amendment, I know it's going to fail, but I wanted to bring these points out, members. We have to, as Representative Kosnick said, take a standalone look at the charities. They deserve their freestanding bill, a clear up or down vote on how we are treating them, and they should not be funding $260 million of the state government every biennium. I would like a roll call, Madam Chair.
Roll call. Having been requested, there will be a roll call. Seeing no further discussion, we'll take the roll on the A31. The chair votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris?
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lead Davids?
Yes.
Lead Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje?
No.
Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand?
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins?
No.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard?
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick?
Yes.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee?
No.
Lee, no. Representative Lislegard?
No.
Lislegard, no. Representative Olson B?
Yes.
Olson B, yes. Representative Olson L, excused. Representative Pinto?
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins?
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith?
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swidzinski?
Yes.
Swidzinski, yes. Representative Wiener?
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte?
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim?
No.
Joachim, no. Madam Chair, there being 9 ayes, 11 nays, and 1 member excused.
There being 9 ayes and 11 nays, the A31, or the motion does not prevail. The A31 is not adopted. We're moving on to the A33 from Representative Kosnick. I'm just going to ask members, I understand that people are passionate about this issue, but what we're not going to do is we're not going to say untrue things either about things, about actions that this legislature have made, nor are we going to say things like other untrue things, like that members have been disparaging veterans in our committee today. That has not happened. And if I hear anybody say something that's untrue, I apologize. You know, I usually do not do this, but I'm going to interrupt you if I hear you say something that's untrue. Representative Koznick to the A33.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I made a mistake in getting my amendment drafted. I'd like to add a verbal amendment on line 1.2, or maybe House Research could help me. I want to keep section 5 in the bill and delete the rest on page 7 and 1 is my intention. So if we could have help clarifying that, that would be appreciated.
All right. Ms. Hagler.
Madam Chair and members, so the instruction on the A33 amendment would be page 1, delete line 2, and insert, quote, page 70, comma, delete sections 1 to 4, end quote. Page 1 after line 2, insert, quote, page 71, comma, delete section 6, and insert, quote, colon, end quote.
Is that your motion, Representative Koznick?
I think I followed. That is my motion, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Koznick has moved his oral amendment to the A33. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Motion carries. The A33 is amended. Representative Koznick to the A33 as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A33 amendment as amended restores what we had in statute, essentially, by allowing the Minnesota Horse Racing Commission to kind of set the guidelines on horse racing and deletes the parts of the author's bill that dealt with banning historical horse racing. And, Madam Chair, I'd request a roll call.
All right. There will be a roll call on the A33. Is there other member discussion to the A33? Not seeing any. Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'd ask for a no vote on this provision. You know, the historical horse racing issue is not something that's squarely in the jurisdiction of the tax committee, but among other things, I'm not sure that we should be passing bills saying the legislature shall not pass a law to do anything. And so I think that is reason enough to ask for a no vote on this amendment.
All right. Representative Koznick, any final thoughts before we move to a roll call vote?
No, we can have more discussion later, but I just appreciate committee members' support.
All right. So a roll call has been requested. So Ms. Sabas will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris, excused. Lee Davids.
Yes.
Lee Davids, yes. Representative Egbaje.
No.
Egbaje, no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Mm-hmm. Representative Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard.
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy.
Yes.
Joy, yes. Representative Koznick.
Yes.
Koznick, yes. Representative Lee. Excused. Representative Lislegard.
No.
Lislegard, no. Representative Olson B.
Yes.
Olson B, yes. Representative Olson L. Excused. Representative Pinto.
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins.
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith.
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swidzinski. Excused. Representative Wiener.
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte.
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim.
No.
Joachim, no. Madam Chair, there being nine... excuse me, 8 ayes, 9 nays, and 4 members excused.
There being 8 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. The A33, as amended, is not adopted. So we're going to, that's the end of the amendments. So we're going to move now to member discussion on House File 2000 as amended. Any members who would like to speak? Okay. Representative Anderson.
Thank you. I have a question for nonpartisan staff on the charity tax cut numbers, the savings. Does that? And I apologize. There's been so many different versions of the bill that I can't keep it all straight.
Yes.
But does that Does that assume that the revenues from the e-poll tab, from charitable gambling, remain the same or higher or lower? Or what's the assumption on those taxes?
Ms. Hagler or Ms. Templin?
Whoever can answer. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, the revenue estimate before you is based on the February forecast, which includes the laws that were passed, or the assumption of the laws that were enacted last session.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Can you answer, is the assumption that the revenues, the net revenues that are taxable, are going to be the same for charities?
Ms. Templin.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson. The February forecast for lawful and gambling did include the regulatory changes that were enacted last session, and the revenues for lawful gambling did show a decrease in the February forecast, especially in the 26 and 27 biennium.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you. And what? How much of a decrease was shown?
Ms. Templin.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, I don't have the exact percentages before me. Mm-hmm. I do remember it in the November forecast, it was around 20%, but if it would be okay, I could get back to you after committee.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Anderson?
Thank you.
All right. Anything further? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the last 45 minutes. I think it's been an excellent experience learning and gaining more knowledge on how we can make a better bill for next year, next session. I think that we allowed Representative Stevenson the opportunity to fine-tune his bill a little bit further. I think that with the nonsense that's going on in the Senate that borders on criminal, we probably will not see this bill passed this year, which is why it's really sad for me personally that we couldn't at least take care of our charities. We're going to kick them down the road with the can that we're kicking down the road. This is a really sad thing, but at least we gained a little bit more experience on how the committee process works. So thank you for the last 45 minutes. I do not think that very much is going to occur with this in the Senate. So thank you.
Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And disappointed the A33 amendment barely did not pass, but that's how it goes. It is Derby week, and we'll take our odds here. The particular issue on that one with the historical horse racing, it does have a tax implication because the assault that I would say on horse racing and the state's horse tracks, it's a $500 million industry, and derived out of that industry, we have horsemen and women throughout the state, every part of the state, that are paying taxes and creating economic activity. It's thousands of jobs in Anoka County and Scott County and at the two racetracks and beyond the racetrack, the hotels, all the extras that comes with that activity, the entertainment, the hospitality, the agricultural. And so I think there should be big concern with the provisions in the bill that block the horse tracks from continuing to be economically viable. I had mentioned my concerns with the sports betting bill, that it has a variety of different provisions that are on their own would not pass individually. I understand trying to build a coalition, but when we're log rolling provisions in there to try to garner support, I think that puts us in some cautious areas of law that would be challenged. And then more importantly, with those provisions, we're changing the rules in the middle of the race. And there is a case being tried out through the courts on whether the Minnesota Horse Gaming Commission has the authority to permit the historical horse racing. And what this bill does and those provisions, it closes the starting gate before the race gets off to start. That's not the legislature's purview. But Chair Stevens, I appreciate that you have you at least listened when we were in the state government finance and had your amendments to kind of tighten up the language on the historical horse racing, not to my liking, but at least I appreciate that you were paying attention. I hope everybody has a good Derby week. This weekend is the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. I'm kind of a fan. But this bill doesn't quite cross the finish line, and I think it's running out of steam and finding a slow death.
All right. Any further discussion? Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to, I would add to Representative Koznick's comments about the amendment when it comes to horse racing and the impact it has on agriculture in our state, and our wishing that we could potentially have done something with that, and just reach out to the organizations that came and spoke on behalf of this bill. Good job coming and representing your interests. There's a reason why this bill is before us. It's because of what happened before. We won't go into that. But I'm reminded kind of if you remember the scene from Indiana Jones, and I think it was The Last Crusade, there was the scene where Indiana Jones goes into the room filled with goblets. And the crusader says, you need to choose which goblet. And one person rushes in and grabs the wrong one. And Indiana Jones comes in and grabs the right one. And when we're looking at issues, when we're looking at the sides we're taking on issues, the reason why this bill is before us is because we chose unwisely last session. And it potentially is going to have a real impact on charitable gaming. And it's not just the tax amounts. It's about the games that people chose to play to pay for a stadium. And the way they were designed were on purpose so that people would enjoy them and have a reason to come into these establishments. And tax relief is good, but also the entertainment value of what was lost, I think, is maybe one of those things that's not going to be potentially recognized in this bill. And, I would just encourage as we move forward, whether charitable gaming is part of a change, whether it's sports betting is a change, and whether that becomes law or not in the state, I would just encourage the organizations that are affiliated with this, that were impacted, to remember what caused this bill. Thank you.
Representative Witte.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. Representative Stevenson, thanks for bringing this bill forward to us. My concern is with horse racing and the historical piece that Representative Koznick brought forth. Our horse tracks have been a part of this and obviously have an important piece in our communities and throughout the state. Recently, I learned a bill that Representative Koznick brought forward, Obligia on the Backside, and the racetracks supporting that nonprofit that help our first responders, our military, with PTSD. And after the Burnsville incident, they reached out and have been helping them get through this incident. So whatever ways as you move forward with this, we can help our racetracks, I would appreciate that. Helping our veterans. I see you're trying to put that part in here. So I appreciate all those efforts, but I just wanted to ask you for that favor. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Witte. Representative Lislegard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, it's been one heck of a conversation. Last year I didn't agree with everything, but it passed. We did what we said we were going to do, and they kept their word. And I think that has been clarified today. What I am disappointed in is there is no perfect bill. And I watched everyone come up to this table today and testify. And everyone testified in favor of the bill. No one came and said that they were against the bill. And then when I heard everybody and having conversations that this bill is not going to go anywhere, I looked over at the veterans over there, and I watched their demeanor change as this hearing went on.
And I feel for you. Because you were told that this has no chance. Is this a perfect bill? Probably not. But it was moving in the right direction. And we listened to you. We worked with you. Chair Stevenson did. And I'm not giving up. I think that there's work to be done. I'm not giving up on the Senate. I would encourage that you guys continue your advocacy to try to get this over. And I feel for you after the conversation that I heard today. So I will be voting strongly for this bill, and I hope that you get the relief and the support that you deserve.
Lee Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And one thing I've learned over the years is you don't provide false hope. And I think that's really what we've done here. But beyond that, Madam Chair, if we get a roll call.
There will be a roll call.
And, Madam Chair, I would really like to thank you, your staff, and every member of this committee for the hard work they've done the last 2 years. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Stevenson.
Well, I will also thank you, Chair Gomez, and your excellent, excellent staff in the Taxes Committee who have worked very hard on this bill and many others, and I very much appreciate it. And I appreciate the conversation today, though not necessarily the prognostication. There's a long way to go left in session, and nothing's ever dead until sine die is one of the oldest cliches about this place, but it's because it's true. So let's keep working would be my ask of my colleagues. I did just want to briefly mention, because of the conversation about the historic horse racing, which again, I understand it's not a tax provision, but if you give me just a little bit of license, since other people have been talking about it. This relates, for members who haven't been paying attention to this particular piece, there was a decision by the Racing Commission to authorize 500 historic horse racing machines at each of the state's two tracks, so 1,000 new machines. These are slot machines, members, horse racing themed slot machines that were authorized to put at the tracks. But more importantly, I just want members to understand they are not there now. So the language in this bill does not stop anything that is currently happening at any track. It prevents something from happening that was just authorized by an unelected commission. That's all that language does. Members, Minnesotans want sports betting to be legal. That's very clear in the polling. There's a broad coalition in support of this bill. It accomplishes many important tasks, and I'd ask members for a yes vote on the bill.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. So we're going to move now to voting on House File 2000 as amended. We're going to do a roll call. The chair votes aye.
Chair Gomez, aye. Vice Chair Norris.
Aye.
Vice Chair Norris, aye. Lee Davids.
No.
Lee Davids, no. Representative Agbaje.
Aye.
Agbaje, aye. Representative Anderson.
No.
Anderson, no. Representative Brand.
Brand votes aye.
Brand, aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Howard.
Aye.
Howard, aye. Representative Joy.
No.
Joy, no. Representative Kosnick.
No.
Kosnick, no. Representative Lee.
No.
Lee.
Yes.
Aye. Representative Lislegarde.
Aye.
Lislegarde, aye. Representative Olson, B.
No.
Olson, B, no. Representative Olson, L, excused. Representative Pinto.
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Robbins.
No.
Robbins, no. Representative Smith.
Yes.
Smith, yes. Representative Swidzinski.
No.
Swidzinski, no. Representative Wiener.
No.
Wiener, no. Representative Witte.
No.
Witte, no. Representative Joachim.
Aye.
Joachim, aye.
Representative Olson's here.
Representative Olson, L.
Aye.
Representative Olson, L. Aye. Madam Chair, there being 12 ayes, 9 nays, and 0 members excused.
There being 12 ayes and 9 nays, the motion prevails. House File 2000, the third engrossment, as amended, is re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All right, this is likely our last meeting of the term. Members, we kind of did our full thank yous at the end of our omnibus tax bill, but the committee today was a lot of work for our staff, and so I want to just say again, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for bearing with us. Thank you to every member of this committee for being here and for all of the good conversation and all of the thought and care that you have for the people of Minnesota, regardless of our disagreements. That is the thing that brings us together around this table, and I really appreciate it. Representative Stevenson said, you never know what's going to happen, so this is likely our last meeting, but please stay tuned because we could be back here. You never know. With that, members, we are adjourned.